Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from Orlando, Florida, you're now listening to the Ozone Podcast, the voice of Orlando Magic fans. Join us every week for a unique fan perspective on all of the latest Magic news and updates. The show starts now.
What's up, Magic fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Ozone Podcast, brought to you by DraftKings and part of the Basketball Podcast Network. We're your hosts, Al, myself, Anthony. It is Labor Day weekend, and in today's episode, we got a very, very special guest joining us, Orlando Magic guard, Devin Kennedy. What's up, man?
Yeah, man. Appreciate you guys for having me.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you. We were supposed to have this episode done about maybe a month and a half ago. Around that, it was more our fault than it was Devin. So, Devin, I appreciate you being patient with us. But jumping right into it, man, and your off season, it seems like you've had a very, very busy off season. How has it been for you, and how much are you itching to get back on the court?
I mean, itching to get back on the court. I feel like this past season, I really didn't get a chance to really even play, or at least play how I wanted to feel. Obviously, the injury took place the previous year. So it was a year full of just rehab, getting my body basically in shape enough to play basketball, not even really to play at an elite level. When it comes to injuries, things like that, like it does take time. And so, you know, when you're in the G League, it's one thing to really just be like, I'm trying to get back to the league. So, you know, obviously getting the 10-day, getting it converted and having an actual off season, like for me, I just wanted to hit the ground running back on April 10th when the season ended. So we're here in September. We're close to training camp. This is my first off season, really just to focus on my body, to really dedicate myself to really being in the gym, at a much higher level. And so that's really what my off seasons consisted of. Obviously had a chance to play summer league with the group, which was dope. And now we're just getting ready for training camp. So it's been good, but definitely itching to compete and be back on the floor with everybody.
Yeah, man. I know Magic fans cannot wait to see you out there. You've kind of become a fan favorite. I know for me personally, and Anthony can attest to this, been pulling for you, man, for the last few years, hoping to see you make it to the Magic and then stick with the Magic. And it seems like that's finally happening. Congrats, by the way, on the contract. I know that that's big time, to have the chance to come to training camp, earn that roster spot, and have that kind of security behind it. So congrats big time on that. We're all rooting for you. With that being said, talk to us a little bit about the Summer League, that experience with the Magic, kind of going out there. Seems like a lot of team chemistry. Most of the team players really went out there and supported you guys. And of course, Paolo Banchero as well, our brand new rookie. So how was that experience? What were your thoughts on Summer League?
I'll start with the on-court experience. I think really a lot of it started being back here at the facility, the practice facility, once the group came in and we're kind of going through our concepts, how we want to play, not just in Summer League, but obviously, you know, we have some guys that are going to be making an impact. Paolo, Caleb, myself, RJ, we had Sko. So like there's 5 guys that are on the roster, you know, currently that were in that Summer League group. So really just being back on the floor, you know, for me really was just like, hey, I'm here now, you know, like I'm not coming off of the injury. I'm not just here on a 10-day, like it's a real opportunity for me to just lead, to show kind of not necessarily like, hey, I'm this elite shooter, but more so just like, hey, we have a generational talent, in my opinion, in Paolo. What are ways that I can take my journey, my experience in the G League, being undrafted, like, you know, injuries, this, that, and the third, and use that experience to help him and facilitate and highlight him. So I think, you know, overall, that experience was dope. In Vegas, the two games where we kind of had that main core together, I felt like we competed. We had tough games. Obviously, went to sudden death. The second game, which was crazy, was the best basketball game I've ever been a part of. So it was cool playing with them. I didn't shoot the ball really how I wanted to in summer league. But for me, it really wasn't like, hey, you know, it's a make it or break it, you know, from a shooting perspective. There's so many things that I'm working on from my body standpoint, guarding, concepts, being a good, you know, team defender, moving without the ball. Like, these are things that I pride myself on. So, you know, I'm going to make 40% of my shots, my threes, you know, over a long stretch of time. So I really wasn't worried about that. I think the biggest thing was the support that we saw off the floor. Having a big organizational team dinner with you know, staff, you know, all the way from people, you know, down in the front office who I've really never even met before. So it's really kind of that family environment, which you can see. I think, Anthony, your background is the new facility. Like,
that's
going to be a spot once I get in there. Like, I may not want to leave. Like, there's so many cool things and definitely just that family environment. So Summer League was great. Obviously, the number one pick, you know, everyone's all eyes were on the Magic then. And I'm just excited for this season to get going with the group.
Yeah. So last season was a pretty tough season for the Magic, 22 game season. But one of the things that I think really stands out and was really, really loud is the team chemistry. Like, you don't expect a 22 game or a 22 win team to have the level of team chemistry that we have. The fact that we were able to see so many of the players go out to Vegas and really support the summer league team and you guys, I thought that it was really sending a loud message to anyone out there, showing that, you know, this is a very cohesive group. You've been around other organizations. Do you see that as something being a really big pillar for this team moving forward?
I think just in, even being a part of it, the only really other organization I've been a part of was Brooklyn, Long Island, and then OKC, my summer league, my first year. So I haven't had a chance. I've been a part of the Magic organization since November of 2020. So I've really been around Steve Clifford, that training camp. I was with Vooch, Evan, AG. Like, I feel like I haven't played a lot of NBA games, but I've been in this organization more or less, you know, my whole career. So I think as we've grown and as this transition from, you know, that generation of players to this new group coming up, this is, I keep saying, it's a family. It's a place I love to be. And I think just in professional sports in general, you don't find that. You know, you have guys with different interests. You have guys more or less who they come into work, they show up, they punch the clock, and they're out. The fact that this group is such a young group, Coach Mosley, his energy, how infectious it is, and obviously what everyone's doing from the top down with Jeff and John, like, this is a great place to be. I keep saying, and they say it in interviews about the new practice facility and you know, kind of just that energy that it has. It's a great time to be an Orlando Magic fan, player in the organization. So I think as long as people stay hungry to get better and work, I mean, you talked about a 22 win season. It can only go up from there. How much it can go up determines the level of buy-in. Obviously, you know, things falling our way. But overall, I think this group is going to come in hungry. I know I speak for myself and how hungry I am given my story, you know. So it's really exciting.
Kind of before we actually deep dive into your NBA journey, I kind of want to dial it back a little bit and really, really get to know you. You're from Indiana. We know that you're a multi-sport athlete, played some football, basketball, and a little bit of baseball. What was your initial introduction to basketball? Because Indiana, we know, is like, you know, basketball capital, right? What was that introduction for you like?
Yeah, no, I think from a young age, my dad, my parents had me at a young age, you know, 20, 24. My dad was in college at the time. And so for him, the best way to kind of show his firstborn kid, his son, you know, the ropes, or, you know, showing me kind of what he cared about, was having me be around the game of basketball. So he would play these Gus Macker tournaments, 3-on-3 outdoor tournaments. He'd be in kind of like the adult leagues, and, you know, my mom would be there holding me, having me watch. And so basketball is kind of like in my blood. It just was something that I've always been around. VHS tapes of Michael Jordan. It's just like, it's something that I've always loved because my dad loved it. And then really from there, yeah, I played a lot of sports growing up, but basketball was that first love. And, you know, the journey has definitely been unique for sure. You know, never was the biggest, the fastest, the strongest, but I put so much time into just the game. Clearly shooting, you know, in Indiana, you know, they're known for people who can shoot the ball. Jimmy Chitwood from the Hoosiers, like things like that, just historically. But for me, that's just been my MO. It's just shooting the basketball because I put a lot of time into it. So it's obviously got me here, and I think it will take me a lot further in my career.
I think in the Magic locker room, you got Paolo, who I believe play football in high school. You got Jalen Suggs. We got yourself. And we saw a video of you kind of challenging the team. There was a little challenge you did on your Instagram. You posted the video. So I got to ask, you know, any similarities between the game of football and basketball, especially when it comes to like a defined skill, thinking about shooting versus passing. So any way you think that helped you go into that experience of playing football into what you've become in your basketball career?
I think, yes. I think every sport, you know, from tennis, the footwork to football, baseball, I mean, these things, they definitely have parallels and carryover. But, you know, me, Jalen, Paolo, the fact that we're all quarterbacks, I feel like high-level quarterbacks, there's like a decision-making element to being a quarterback, and the process. You have to process things quickly, whether that's learning a playbook, knowing where everyone else should be on the floor. So, obviously, Jalen, myself are more those primary guards, but Paolo's a big guard. He can bring the ball up the floor and make decisions. He's clearly shown he can be a playmaker. You know, summer league, he made some crazy passes. So I think a lot of we have similar, you know, similarities in that sense. We're just kind of built different. So definitely carry over between the quarterback position and being a decision maker on the floor.
Now, you mentioned previously on your Run Your Own Race podcast that you just launched, very first episode, you talked about the reason why you decided to go to Princeton College and play basketball. Princeton really isn't known for, you know, basketball primarily. They're known academically. What was the reason behind choosing Princeton? I think the last player to get drafted into the NBA from Princeton was back in the 90s, right? The late 90s. What was that decision like? And were there any other offers that you were kind of, you know, deciding between Princeton and the other schools?
Yeah, I wasn't heavily recruited. I think I was kind of in that mid-major category. I think the biggest offer I had really wasn't even an offer. It was kind of like a potential option. It was like Butler, once I committed to Princeton, Butler came in and they had been recruiting me lightly. And Butler was Big East. I thought I could play ACC Big Ten coming from Indiana. But if anything, I thought a Big East team, a Marquette, a Butler, DePaul would have, you know, kind of picked me up. But, and I would have wanted to play at the highest possible level when it comes to, you know, basketball. Like, I really believe that I could have made an impact at these schools, but they just never offered me. One, they were like, oh, you're not a point guard. Two, you're too small to be a shooting guard. So it's kind of always been, you know, if people wanted to nitpick my game, those are the two things they'll say is you're this tweener. So really, when it came down to that, it was really not that difficult to choose between a lot of the mid-major schools that kind of offered the same kind of package. Come in, give you the ball, you know, you come and shoot, you know, you kind of be the star at these mid-major schools. Whereas Princeton, it was like, we're recruiting you to be different than all the other players we have here, which I thought was kind of like the other schools, like, hey, we'll give you a chance to come in and make a real big impact. But also, I believed that I was going to have to go to school for 4 years. I didn't think I was the kind of guy that would have gone 1, 2, or 3 and done. So I was like, if I'm going to go 4 years of school, I might as well get a degree from Princeton. At that point, it was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right. And so I thought I had my degree sitting up here somewhere. It's back at my grandma's house. But having that piece of paper really, you know, kind of made that decision come full circle. And obviously, I believed in myself enough to that I could make it no matter where I was at. So I think I just put all my chips in on that and said, hey, you know, after basketball stops, you know, the experiences at Princeton, the academics at Princeton is going to take me a lot further than even basketball will. So that was really the decision at a young age to go to Princeton.
Man, that's a deep decision making that you kind of went through as a young kid, because all young kids don't go through that, right? They think basketball is the way it's going to be and they want to go to a basketball school. But for you to think about it that way at the time, I mean, it makes perfect sense. Again, if something doesn't work out, an injury, anything like that, you're still going to be protected. You're still making the right decision long term. So props to you on doing that. As you were kind of explaining your decision making there, something came to mind with how the game has changed. You know, Steph Curry, the game has expanded so much. Shooting is such an important aspect of the game. Do you think if you were in high school today, you would have been recruited differently?
I do think so. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, it wasn't that long ago, honestly, but, you know, it definitely has changed. I mean, I think people bought in more to, you know, having these 6'1", 6'2 guys. I mean, even I look at Dame, and Steph and Dame have been the two players I've really studied since kind of junior high. I remember watching Dame's License to Lillard video when he was going through pre-draft, and I literally just like try to emulate everything he was doing. I'm watching Steph at Davidson, and I'm like, I want to lead a team like that. And so I think the recruiting process definitely would have been different. I think, to be honest, it had nothing changed except for me, you know, being born a little bit later. I probably have been like a top 50 player. They, you know, highlight reels, you know, crazy shots. But Steph has changed the game, I think, for the better. Guys want to be more skilled, you know, expanding the game to shoot. But for guys like me, I mean, I look at guys like Bryn Forbes, Patty Mills, and their impact they can have on championship contending teams. Like, you need a Seth Curry on your team. You need a Bryn Forbes on your team. So I look at that. It gives me a lot of, you know, motivation to continue to enhance my skill, to add layers to my game as well. But when the rubber hits the road, you got to put the ball in the basket. You have to be able to make shots from the 3-point range. And that's what I do. So that gives me a lot of confidence going into this season, you know, the rest of my career, whatever happens, that that's something I can provide for a team. So it's exciting.
And then Devin, kind of fast forwarding into the draft. So you go undrafted at that point as a player, you got a lot of different options, right? You could take it overseas. You could go the G League route. You could even, you know, kind of get into your head and decide that, you know, start questioning yourself and really asking yourself, can this really be, you know, something that you're able to do? What was your thought process through that? Why didn't you go international? Why did you feel like, you know, G League right now is our route? Because for most cases, in terms of financial income, international might be the route. What made you decide to take that risk and say, hey, I'm going to fight through this because I know I have the ability to be able to make it into the league?
I think more or less it just came down to just, you know, what I believed, you know, about myself and what my goals were. And I had never said in my life, I just want to be a professional basketball player. If that was the case, if you just want to be a professional basketball player and you want to make the most money, don't go to the G League. Go overseas, go get your 80K, build your career, go get 250, stack that up. And I think by now, had I chose to go overseas from year one, I would be making a lot more money than I've made so far. And I think I would have climbed up the Euro ranks up to this point. But that was never the case for me. It was, I want to be an NBA player. You know, I am an NBA player. And I said that about myself, honestly, since going into Princeton. It was like, I'm going here, but I'm an NBA player. I'm an NBA player who's studying at Princeton. It's basically what I told myself. I'm not a student athlete. I'm not here to do school. I'm here to be an NBA player and get a great education. So when I went undrafted, my mindset never changed. It was, okay, what's the best path for me to achieve the goal, which is being in the NBA? And it's the NBA G League. It's not traditional necessarily. It's not going to be easy. And I knew that, but that's kind of when I came up with the concept of run your own race. And it really gave me just peace and a sense of calmness that, like, hey, like, this is my journey. I don't know where it's going to take me. Maybe we'll never be in the NBA, but it's not going to be a lack of going against, you know, my principles and going against my goals. So
definitely betting on yourself kind of paid off here in the bubble. So kind of a lot was going on, right, in that COVID-19 kind of came in, but yet you took that challenge and you made it something productive. So you go with Lakeland Magic, you guys go into the playoffs, you guys go on a crazy run. And by the way, I think it's the only really championship that as an Orlando Magic franchise we've kind of experienced. So we kind of took charge and started watching and witnessing that and rooting for you guys. And here you go. You kind of go off in that process. You have an amazing process to win the championship in the G League, and you also win finals MVP. So talk about that kind of crazy ride from COVID, stopping playing basketball, coming back, and putting the run together. What was that experience like? Any major kind of takeaways or memories from that experience?
Yeah, I mean, that was a time, because this is prime time COVID, and nobody knows, once that March 12th or whatever March date hit, no one knew what the next week, month, year looked like, myself included. So once COVID hit and the league got shut down, in my first year in Long Island, I had just really gotten into the flow. Like, I'm like entrenched into being a pro. I was hearing from a few teams about possible 10 days and then the season's done. It's like, man, like I felt like I could have grasped my goal early on. Like, I was like, I'm right there. And for me, if I'm close, similar to kind of my situation now, it's double, triple down. It's like, we didn't come this far to slow up or stop. So once COVID hit, I was back at my grandma's house, just living in her basement, doing ball handling drills every day in the garage, hitting, like lifting, and kind of reading my daily affirmations that, like, you know, I am an NBA player. You know, I am one of the best shooters in the world. I am this and that. And it's just constantly reaffirming that no matter what happens with COVID, we may never play basketball again. All right, cool. Like, you know, at least I gave it my all. But when this thing does stop, and it will stop, I'm going to be ready for whatever the opportunity is. And the opportunity ended up being going to training camp with the Orlando Magic. And I remember my first play on an NBA floor against the Hawks, training camp, coming off like guarding Kevin Werder, block his shot on like a pull-up jumper at the elbow. Michael Carter Williams is bringing the ball down. Cole's running to the corner. He swings to me. I fake it to Cole. My first ever shot on NBA floor, cash. And I was like, I belong here. Like, these past couple, 8, 6 months, whatever it was of COVID, I was preparing for this moment. And really, I landed that camp, 15 roster spots already full. Jordan Bone, Kareem Mane, two ways. And I'm like, man, like, I belong on this team. What? Run your own race? I get cut. Talk with Coach, who's that? Coach Clifford at the time, Jeff Weltman. Hey, there's an opportunity for you to be a part of our G League team, in the bubble. We're going to be watching you. And I was like, look, I'm going in here and I'm going to come out. And I literally wrote down on my phone, like, bubble MVP. I wanted to be the MVP of the whole bubble. Like, I came in with that much confidence, and God works in mysterious ways. You know, led us to a championship, like you said. Played the best basketball I was playing up to that point in the championship. Got Finals MVP, which for me really is just testament of staying down, committed, and prepared, which obviously led to my first actual call up to the league. So that was a dope experience. I mean, the fact that, yeah, like you said, it was the only championship that the Magic organization has won is a dope feeling to be a part of that. And it's something I carry with me to today, being in the facility. It's like, hey, like, why can't that blueprint work here? You know, so it's a much longer season. It's not a bubble, better talent. But I mean, you can't take that away. So definitely a cool experience.
So Devin, with your first call up to the Magic, what is that? What are you thinking immediately after? Who's that first phone call? What is going through your mindset once you actually receive that phone call? Where, all right, I really got an opportunity here. What is it that you're processing in your mind in that moment?
I was at the gym. I was back home. So this is after the bubble. I'm waiting. I'm hearing through the grapevine. The Orlando's blowing it up. They're trading, you know, their players away.
Yep.
So I'm just like, opportunity. So I'm just back home in Indiana. I'm training with one of my high school teammates. And we had just finished. It was the day where I was like, I don't want to work out today. But I was like, let me just go to the gym. So I work out, whatever. We just finished on the court. Like, a minute after sitting down, we're just talking like, hey, man, like, are you going to get a call up? Like, time is ticking. I'm just like, man, my agent called me in that moment and he's just screaming, let's go 10 day with Orlando. And I kicked the ball. I'm running around the floor. My friend's there. We're dapping up. Like, it's like, yo, this is it. Like, you're in the league. Just make sure you test negative for COVID and get there safe and stuff. Cause that was just still a crazy time, but he was there with me. We had just finished a workout. And for me, I mean, I called my mom. She was the first person I called. And it's like, yo, it's happening. Like, it's only 10 days. Don't worry about traveling down to Florida to watch me play. Like, I expect to be in the league for a long time. Like, these 10 days are just 10 days. It could be gone. You're like, but I'm gonna go lock in and hopefully I'm there for the rest of the season, which obviously is what happened. I got converted to the two-way, which would have put me through the rest of the season. I mean, literally the one game that I flew them down to come watch me play is the game I got injured. So it was just a tough time. I mean, it was a tough break for me. Cause I feel like I was just finding my rhythm, my flow, and the injury happened. But that moment of getting the call is what I had told myself was going to happen for the past 6 years was, hey, you belong in the league and this path is going to get you there. So that was the moment. And now ever since then, it's about obviously getting back and staying. So
the wait is almost over. A new football season is about to begin. Get ready for NFL Week 1 action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To celebrate the return of football, DraftKings is giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $5 on any football game and get $200 in free bets instantly. Want more action on opening night? Everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings' early win promotion. Get up 7 and you win. Bet on any NFL team of your choice, and if your team leads by 7 points at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. All you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code TBPN to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any game. That's code TBPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Man, you talk about the injury. So I think you've mentioned it before. The journey has not been easy. And I think that has made you be so approachable by Magic fans and again become a fan favorite in our eyes. It's because we know the struggle you've been through. It hasn't just been, hey, you got drafted, you're by the Magic second round pick, and you're in the roster. That hasn't been the case. It's a battle. So that injury, man, I'll never forget it. So I have the blessing that I get to go to Magic games a lot, get season tickets. And I remember you playing that game. I'm rooting for you. And I kept saying to my wife next to me, like, hey, give Kennedy the ball. I want to see this kid shoot the ball. And I kept telling her, and the reason why is, if you're a Magic fan and you're listening to this, you know our biggest weakness has been shooting for the last, I can't even tell you, since I moved to Orlando at least, and that was back in 2016. Good teams, good rosters, but shootings haven't been there. So I keep rooting for you because I want you to add that value to our team, that strength that we need. So that injury happens. I witnessed it. Super rough moment for the fan base, for you personally, of course. So talk about the journey to again, it's been up and down. You finally make it to the league. That happens. What motivates you to get up that next day and say, I'm going to keep on battling? Like you said to yourself, I'm an NBA player. What keeps that going?
Yeah. Oh, man. That was such a tough time. I mean, against Indiana Pacers, I'm from Indiana. My family's at the game. Like, I'm just like, there's no way. There's no way I've went through all this up to this point for this to happen. I'm not going out like this. Like, I mean, God and I mean, I'm a very spiritual person. I think, you know, and believe in his plan for me, for us, for everybody. And it may not go the way we want it. And so in that moment, I remember it wasn't like, why God, like, this is not supposed to happen. I had a very calm sense about it where I was like, use me as you see fit. Like, if I'm never going to play in another NBA game, like, let this moment, like, highlight just the pro, like, that is that it doesn't, you don't need to be in the NBA to be successful, or you don't need to be this star to, you know, whatever the case may be. Like, it was just like, in that moment, I said, I want to be back. I like, just so you know, like, I want to be back. But guide the way, guide me through whatever I have to go through. And so that next day, that's what gave me whatever, fire inside me that next day was like, I know what I want out of this. I don't know what God has planned for me, but if we're both on the same page, it's going to be special. That next day, which led to 282 more days until I played a actual game live again, was definitely up and down. It was like definitely questioning, like, will I be the same? Will I get the chance? Like, is this struggle, is the pain worth, the battle that isn't guaranteed? It's not certain that I'll get back to the NBA. Like, because getting there the first time was so difficult, and there's 450 spots. They don't just open and present themselves. So I think that's why, I'm probably even more grateful being a part of the Magic family, is because not only, like, usually you have superstars who, if they get injured and it's a contract year, it's like, we might get off of you and, move on to the next thing. Like, the fact that I'm number 15, 16, 17 at the time, and they bring me back to training camp, give me training camp money, knowing I'm not going to play or that I'm even healthier and for the foreseeable future, they don't know what my timetable is. I think a big part of that is, the Lakeland Magic GM at the time, Tunji Adebay, like, he believed in me from day one. And he's like, hey, we want to bring him back. He's going to be part of our culture in Lakeland. We just won a championship. Like, we'll rehab him there, get him back to full strength. And up to at that point, it's going to be, is there an opportunity? And if he's, good enough, bring him back. Right. Like, and so I worked my ass off and I was in Lakeland. You can add Dante Marcatelli's doing games. I'm at the games beforehand, hour or two beforehand, getting work in, sitting on the sideline, baseline, just like waiting to be at 100%, waiting to have my chance to just come back out here, because I was hungry the whole time. Like, when I get back out here, I only want to be here for a week and I want to be back in the league. Granted, I was there for a month or two. I think I was there for almost close to 2 months. And it was just like every day was like purposeful. I'm practicing, I'm playing, I'm going to showcase my shooting, because that's what I do. That's what I'm going to do at a high level here. And I'm going to do it at a high level in the NBA, like, period. And so I went in that season just hungry to get back, because going down the way I did, I was like, I know I can compete at this NBA level. It's just a matter of opportunity and timing. So, yeah, grinded it out. Magic had that open roster spot, I think, and signed me to the 10-day. Converted it to the rest of the season, which was one day, which was the probably most money I've ever made in a day. And then, had the 2 years, which are non-guaranteed. But I talked about it on my podcast, like, this life's not guaranteed. Like, my whole journey, nothing's been guaranteed, So 10-day, two-way, whatever, G League bubble, getting undrafted, like, nothing that next day is not guaranteed. So being on a non-guaranteed contract is a very comfortable spot for me to be in, because everything up to this point has been similar to that. So the grind back was definitely crucial, but we're here and we're excited for where we're going.
Devin, I think that's one of the major things that everyone loves about you, is that when you're walking, you're screaming positivity. I think that life is giving you so many reasons to not pursue anymore, giving you reasons to quit, and you just keep pushing forward. You've even gotten to a point where you're vulnerable enough to be able to share your journey through on your YouTube channel. I've seen you give speeches to younger kids. What's the driving force behind that? When the world is telling you, hey, it's okay to quit, you're saying it's not okay for you. What makes you move forward? And I know that your mantra is run your own race, and you mentioned that a line that's a big driving force.
Yeah.
But I think that one of the things that I appreciate the most is that when you explain what it is, you also explain that it's not about your own personal experience. It's all about the experiences of the people most important to you. But why do you do it? Why do you feel like it's important to share that message to to the youth and to others?
Yeah, that's a great question. No one's actually asked me that. We talk about my journey, a mindset, we talk about what this means, but the actual why behind it is so much more deep. It's so much more powerful. You talk about that life force. And it starts and ends with my family, not just my brothers, my sister, my mom, my dad, my fiance. It's the family that I didn't know. It's the generations before me and the generations to come after me. Like, I'm in this specific moment right now, but on both ends of the time, you know, line, it's there's a reason why I'm here. And there's going to be time after I'm gone. And it's like, what did you do while you were here? Like, who did you impact in a positive way? How did you make the world better by being here? And like, I don't know how that really came to be kind of what my essence is, or, you know, what my soul is. I attribute it to just how God created me and just being very, very in tune with his plan and how I feel like I should be used in my time here. And so a big thing is just family and the kind of extended family, which would be the Magic family, or the people who look up to athletes, or the people who, you know, want to go to Princeton, people who I don't even know. That really drives me every day. And it may sound cliche, and, you know, it's like, well, don't you want to attain millions of dollars by playing the NBA? Don't you want the fame and notoriety? I'm like, I mean, that's a great byproduct of this process. It's a great byproduct of the tools and the blessings I've been given. But that isn't a heavy motivator, and followers and money. I think, like, if it was, I probably wouldn't be talking about running your own race. I would just be talking about money and, you know what I'm saying, and fame. So that's really it. And I think that's a really good question. And so, you know, I talk about kind of building a legacy, leaving a legacy. I want my kids and my kids' kids to look up at their dad and their grandpa, you know, when the time comes, and just be like, man, he was a good guy. And that's really it. So,
man, I can definitely see why the Magic keep bringing you back and keep wanting to work with you, man. Because you hear about Jeff Weltman, and one of the things that he always says when he signs a new player or drafts someone is, you know, this guy has high character, it's positive, hard worker. And I'm like, wait, as you're talking to us today, I'm like, wait, those are all the things that you have in an individual. So again, clearly explains why the Magic want to work with you, why they want to keep finding a spot for you on the roster. It's because, again, you're living player of what they're trying to accomplish in Orlando. They want a locker room full of people like you. So again, props to you for doing that, living that way. But talking about the Magic quickly before we transition to our last segment, next season. So what are your individual goals for next season?
My individual goals are to play 82 games, to be healthy, to impact winning, whether I'm on the floor or off the floor. I think that's what I want to be about. I haven't had a year in the NBA, a full season period, in the 3 years I've played professional basketball. So, I mean, first and foremost, it's to be on this roster come October 15th. And once that happens, the rest will fall into place, which is continuing to impact the team positively, bring good energy, make shots. I mean, from a statistical standpoint, I just posted on Twitter, 95, 55, 45. Like, when I'm on the floor and they're asking me to put the ball in the basket, that's what I do. I've done it at pretty much every level I've played at. And now it's really just about having a bigger sample size here in the NBA and seeing if I can continue to do that. So that's a goal of mine. It's a high, it's a lofty goal. I don't think it's been done before. So I'm just like, why not me? And I think that'll be something, like you said, the Magic, you know, probably missed or haven't had in some time. And I believe I can fill that role. So those are my goals, kind of more meta. And then as it relates to just like my performance. And then, I mean, I'm sure the next question is team goals. And I think we want to win. We want to continue to compete. Play the right way, play hard, play together. You know, I think I want to just, whether I said I'm on the floor or not, is to continue to be that lifeline, to continue to, when things aren't going right and we're on a, you know, we're down 12 with 4 minutes to go, like, are we giving up, or does someone have that ability to light a fire just enough? Win or lose, just continue to build and build and build. And I think that's, for me, how I can see my role affecting the bigger picture. I mean, we all want to be in the playoffs. We all want to, you know, have a winning season. And I think that's going to start now. And it's something you build towards. So I've never been kind of conclusion or end goal. I haven't had that as my mindset. I've always been process oriented. And so that's kind of what I'm trying to bring, that mindset, as well as here with the Magic. So if you stick to the principles and stick to what you're supposed to be about throughout the process, good things always end up as a result.
Awesome, man. Again, we'll be rooting for it to see those things come to life here in the next season for sure. One final question about next season and just kind of thinking about the locker room. We talked about earlier the chemistry of the team, how great it seems, you know, from the outside looking in. What have you noticed with Mosley? Coach Mosley, again, was brought in last year. And one thing that we can tell is how energizing he is. He gets with you guys on the court. He's promoting positivity in the locker room as well. I think that has embraced this team as a unity. You guys are all so close. We hear about the team dinners. We hear about the team outings. So what have you noticed? What's the biggest difference that you've noticed in the team between your first days in Orlando to now with Mosley kind of leading the way?
I'd say the life and the energy, I mean, it starts and ends with him. I mean, and I think it's more or less now it's like, hey, this is the precedent that I've set. Like, who wants to answer that call and be that person to own it? And it come from the players. I think that's really what he is. He's a player's coach. I mean, he's just out in Germany. I saw the thing on Twitter, him at Franz. Yep. Shout out Franz. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's bought in to just everybody, not just as players, as people, as men. And you'll go to war for someone like that, especially rebuilding. You know, it's not easy to lose. You know, I'm sure, you know, I've always wanted to be a winner, even during losing seasons. It's like, how can you take these positives away? And that's definitely what Mosley did this past year. So, you know, going into camp, I think it's going to be one of the best camps, you know, the Magic have seen in quite some time, because we've all seen what year one looked like. I mean, so there's nothing new now. It's pretty much the same group of guys. So we know what to expect. Now it's time to answer that call.
Now, Devin, jumping into our final segment, this is our overtime. We're just going to ask you some questions and just a brief response. You as a shooter, we know that the NBA is very progressive in a lot of ways, where they're always looking at ways to either improve the game, make some tweaks, whatever the case may be. What are your thoughts on the NBA adding a 4-point line as a shooter? Is that something that you'd be open to? Is that something that you would like to see? Or do you think that the NBA is fine the way that it is? Don't mess with it. Keep it as is.
I'm not on the 4-point line bandwagon. That's not me. I think it would dilute the game from the sense of, you know, what are we seeking? Like, are we taking away corner threes in that case? So now there's no more corner three. Like, you would have to really change the whole dynamic of the game. So I'm not team 4-point line.
Now, when it comes to you, again, kind of shaping your game. So you talked about Steph and Dame kind of being those guys, but has there been a player you kind of compare yourself to and say, hey, I look at that guy and I can be that guy in the NBA? Is there a guy like that for you? And who would that be?
Yeah, I think it's unique, because you look at Steph, you look at Dame, it's like, you can take things from them, but will you be Steph and Dame? Are they asking you to be Steph and Dame? And the answer is no, at least not right now. And so what I look at is really the progression of, where can I be this year? Where can I be in 2 years? Where can I be in 5 years? And right now, I think in my role here with the Magic, I look at a guy like Patty Mills, who you know, like, Patty Mills in Australia and team Australia, he's one of the best players in the world. But when he comes, the Spurs Patty Mills, even Nets Patty Mills, it's like, he comes in, he gets 5 threes up, he's making 2 or 3, right? And so that's what I want to be, at least right now, is come in, you're able to, you know, bring the ball up, apply pressure on defense a little bit here and there, but you space the floor for these big playmakers, Franz, Paolo, Markel, and you're shooting efficiently. That's really what I hang my hat on. I'm not going to shoot the ball just to shoot the ball. I mean, if I shoot, I expect it to go in. And I feel like that's kind of that Patty Mills role. So right now, that's someone I watch a lot of film of, him, Brent Forbes, these guys that come off screens, that space the floor. And when they're open, you expect the ball to go in.
Devin, when it comes to the roster on the Magic now, who would you say is your vet? Who's that one guy that is really taking the initiative to kind of, you know, support you the most?
Yeah, I'll say T. Ross. T. Ross helped me basically launch my podcast, which is nice. Dope. You know, the T. Ross pod. I mean, like I said, I came in to camp back with Coach Clifford. You know, T. Ross was even one of my guys then. You know, fellow shooter. I mean, he's the human torch. I've never seen someone who can just come into the gym, do freaking 360 windmill, and make his first 10 shots. So he's someone, you know, I've watched since I was younger. And to be in the locker room with him, I make this joke. It's like, we're 30, 31. Like we would be the Splash Brothers if we actually, you know, spent time on the court together. But so he's been someone, we do shooting competitions pretty regularly and it's very competitive. So he's one of those guys. He's a great dude off the floor, but even on the floor, just, you know, someone I look to and have helped me grow these past couple of years.
All right. So $1,000 on the line between you and T Ross, who's winning? Shootout.
Where's my thought? I'll take $1,000. I'll put $2,000. It's me every time.
I like the confidence. I'll follow up one more with this one. So Reggie, Steph, Ray Allen, 3-point shooting contest, NBA All-Star game, all of them in their prime. Who's your money on?
It's so hard to go against Steph. It's so hard to go against Steph. And I'm from Indiana with Reggie Miller. But for some reason, I feel like Ray Allen would win. So I'm gonna go with Ray Allen.
And that's an interesting one.
Right. It would be hard. It would be very hard for me to put any money against Steph Curry. I'll be honest.
I hear you.
It'd be really hard.
Here's the thing. Ask the previous question and you put me in the competition with those three. I'm picking me.
Hey, there you go.
It's funny. I was going to do that, but I'm like, you know what? If I do that, I know the answer already.
That's crazy. I just feel like for some reason, I mean, you do 99 iterations of that. It's probably 33. Like, those are three of the best shooters of all time. But for some reason, my money would be on Ray Allen.
And then, Devin, to close this out, run your own race. If you were to simplify that in terms, something that the listeners can really take with them and kind of implement in their daily lives, man, how would you put it? What would you say?
It's the motto. It's the mantra. So run your own race. I mean, every single person is on their own journey. Doesn't matter if you are a professional athlete, a librarian, a teacher, custodian. I mean, everyone has their own story, their own journey. So stick to it, own it. Don't compare your story to anybody else. Don't compare your life to anybody else. I think that's where people find this sense of depression, sense of anxiety. That's really what this stemmed from, is run your own race. I went undrafted back in 2019. I believed I should have been drafted. I believe I could have been drafted. But if I would have got myself in a mindset of, I wish I was in a different situation, I don't think I'd be where I am today. So if I can be a living testament of owning your story, of having this faith, this belief, combated with an overwhelming sense of hard work. And if you apply that to your life in whatever area that is, stop comparing and really just dig in, you'll find a lot of success. You'll find a lot of happiness and a lot of peace. So that's run your own race at the end of the day.
There is so much to look forward to this upcoming season. And Devin, believe me when I tell you, following your journey is definitely one of them. We're looking forward to following that. Devin, you just dropped your podcast, Run Your Own Race podcast, on your YouTube channel. For those that want to continue listening and following, you know, everything that you have to say and you talking about your journey, where is it that people can follow in and look for it?
Yeah. I mean, my YouTube channel, Devin Kennedy, you can type in the Run Your Own Race podcast. It'll pull up on YouTube as well. Follow that. And, you know, once we get go through the cross the T's, dot the I's, it'll be on all the streaming platforms as well. So appreciate you guys for having me on, for shouting out the podcast. I'm looking forward to this season as well.
Yes, sir. Devin, appreciate you joining us. That's a wrap. We'll catch you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to the Ozone Podcast, the voice of Magic fans. For all the latest Orlando Magic news and updates, follow us on Twitter at The Ozone Pod and on Instagram at Orlando Magic HQ. Remember to subscribe and leave a 5-star review on all your favorite podcast listening platforms.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of 1. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.